This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Maintaining bone strength is complex with no single solution. My patients who want to optimize their bone health have seen remarkable results with LiveMD as part of a comprehensive bone program. LiveMD is a Class 1 medical device cleared by the FDA. It creates a gentle, low-intensity vibration to benefit your musculoskeletal system. It's a safe, scientifically proven, and simple approach to maintaining musculoskeletal health and wellness. It really works, just 10 minutes per day. Go to livemd.us, that's livemd.us, to learn more about how LiveMD may improve your health. That's livemd.us. Welcome to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and today we are going to talk about a very, very important subject to expectant moms, couples planning to conceive, and also women who are sometimes navigating the difficult waters of postpartum syndrome. It's actually a medical disorder. PPD is postpartum depression. We're going to talk to an expert who is Dr. Shoshana Bennett, affectionately known as Dr. Shosh by her patients. She educates and empowers her audience with radio shows, books, lectures, teleclasses, consultations, and videos. She is known throughout the United States and internationally as a guest lecturer and keynote speaker. And she's also host of the popular Dr. Shosh radio show. So it's great. You know, I always say when I get to interview a fellow broadcaster, it's a sure thing because they're media savvy. She's also author of Postpartum Depression for Dummies, Pregnant on Prozac, Children of Depressed, and co-author Beyond the Blues, Understanding and Treating Prenatal and Postpartum Depression and Anxiety. So she is powerfully qualified to address this subject. So thanks for joining us, Dr. Bennett. It's a pleasure having you on Intelligent Medicine.
Thanks for the invitation. I love being here. I love your show. And you always provide such a good forum for putting great information out there, so I appreciate it very much. You know, this isn't a depressing topic to me, so I don't want any of your listeners to be worried. This isn't this is all about hope, and there's so much we can do to help prevent these disorders and to treat them, and sometimes very naturally.
Well, exactly, and you know, I think it's, you know, the nice thing about the kind of work that you do is that you know, a couple sometimes come to me planning pregnancy, and I like to see couples. It's a very constructive exercise because in so doing, it's not like we're giving them some medication to ease nausea of pregnancy that might have toxic effects, or pumping them up on hormones. We're trying to create wellness for both partners, and also for the nuclear family that will hopefully ensue out of that union.
Right.
And it's
yeah.
it's a transformative time because, young people, party hardy, and sometimes they ignore their health. But, when it comes down to creating a progeny and, with the horrifying statistics that we're faced with so much in the way of autism spectrum disorder, attention
right.
deficit disorder, all kinds of problems that kids are having, allergies and, whatnot, it's great to work on a constructive program to head these off, right?
We're on the same page, exactly. And one of the things that I suggest to expectant parents that can ward off unnecessary conflict, for starters, is talking about expectations and wishes. I mean, sometimes a lot of discord can be completely avoided just by talking to each other, like talking about a plan for sleep at night and who's going to take care of the nutritional needs, who's going to be cooking and cleaning and doing that stuff, who's going to be watching the older children. Having a plan and being on the same page is so important. And yes, the nutrition and the exercise and the emotional support and the physical support, but this wellness strategy, whenever possible, ideally should be set up during the pregnancy, long before the baby comes.
Oh, indeed. So are there some things that you recommend, you know, when couples, you know, come for a consultation to plan a pregnancy? Are there certain tests that you advocate? Is there a workup? Is there, you know, certain questions that need to be asked? Do you do an environmental checkout or all of the above?
Well, as a psychologist, I'm very interested in mental health, and certainly we know that there are so many factors that can affect one's mental health. So I want to know what kind of stressors are on the couple. What are they facing, or what have they faced just chronically? Sometimes they don't even think about the fact that 3 months before they moved from Texas to California, and all of their support system is somewhere else. I mean, those are the kinds of things I want to know. I want to know about past trauma in the mom. I want to know what's running in her family, whether it's been diagnosed or not. You know, what she thinks is running through her family as far as depression or anxiety or bipolar disorder or whatever else. Is there substance abuse? And what has that looked like? I want to know if she's had any perinatal issues before. Has she lost a child before? Has there been any loss? You know, there are so many things that I want to find out at that initial intake that many other therapists don't think are important, I guess. You know, they can be good therapists, but I've learned over the years, you know, finding out what she's eating and if she's even hungry. You know, those kinds of things. Does she exercise? Does she do anything to oxygenate her brain? I want to know about their relationship, because her mental health and their mental health can be impacted tremendously by the support they feel from each other. So it's a long-winded way of answering your question, but there are so many things I want to find out to get a well-rounded picture of these people's lives.
Well, you know, more and more I'm getting referrals from therapists, patients who suffer from anxiety or depression. And it's not as if they don't believe in psychotherapy. They, you know, they're well-trained in, you know, behavioral techniques and whatnot. But they recognize that lifestyle, that diet, that exercise, that sometimes supplementation may play a key supporting role in helping to iron out these problems.
And prevent them. Absolutely. Omega-3, essential fatty acids. I know we're on the same page with that one and many others, but that is one that is at the top of my list. I happen to love Nordic Naturals. I love the brand. It's very, very pure, and they just came out with a postnatal omega-3 with...
Wow.
With D3 in it. I know.
It's
very new. I'm happy to let you know on this show.
Wow.
There's 1,000 IUs of D3 in the omega-3 supplement for postnatal.
So
it's fabulous.
It's specifically targeted to women for that postnatal period, right?
Correct.
Okay.
I mean, anyone can take it, certainly.
Yep.
I mean, you're not going to go wrong with any of the
right.
supplements. But yes, this is entitled postnatal omega-3. They have a prenatal DHA, which you probably mm-hmm. have heard about. But again, very recently came out with a postnatal. Postnatal means postpartum. It's, they can be used interchangeably. But postnatal omega-3 has the omega-3, the combination of DHA and EPA, and 1,000... IUs of D3. And D3 is another one that I will ask my clients, you know, when was the last time you were tested? Do you know a level? I mean, because we know that there is a correlation. We don't know in which direction the causation might be, but there's mm-hmm. a correlation between low D3 and depression. So, I definitely educate them. I'm not an MD. You know, I'm not a physician. I can't prescribe. I don't tell them what to take or how much, but mm-hmm. I certainly educate them, and I let them know of the you know, the data we have, which is pretty extensive, about not only preventing you know, prenatal and postpartum depression and anxiety, but also treating.
Well, let's look at some of the evidence, because I'm sure, you know, you're a speaker and, you know, you speak sometimes to academic audiences as well as to lay people. Let's look at the evidence first for use of omega-3s in the prenatal period. And I'm thinking more from the standpoint of how beneficial it is for the offspring. And then we can talk about mom later, but what does the evidence show? And is there evidence more about EPA or more about DHA? Or, you know, what's the story on that?
You know, interesting. We have so much research on how important the DHA levels are for children. And now, you know, it's pretty standard, at least a certain amount in the prenatal vitamins of any company. You know, a woman's DHA levels decrease substantially during pregnancy. We certainly know that from the data.
It's like the baby sops it up, right?
And sometimes the woman is deficient before she even gets pregnant.
Yeah.
So that really sets her up for physical problems and mental health problems. Mm-hmm. But the woman's DHA, what we know from research is that her DHA level can remain low for 9 to 12 months, like up to a year following delivery, unless her diet is supplemented. So the baby might not even be getting what it needs for brain development and a retina support and nerve support and all that great stuff. You know, DHA provides mood support, nerve support for pregnant and nursing moms. And I know one study at least found that women who consumed larger amounts of fish suffered half the rate. I mean, like 50%, half the rate. That's enormous, you know, of postpartum depression when compared to women who consumed little or no fish. And I know, you know, pregnant women are often very worried. You know, there's been a big scare about mercury. And they're worried about eating fish during pregnancy, and it's true, we need to be careful about what we're eating and where it comes from and all of that. But you can always take a pure supplement and not worry about it at all. And
yeah,
I really love Nordic Naturals.
A misconception, if you excuse the pun, or misnomer, is that fish oil is contaminated and dangerous. And that may be the case for, you know, sometimes people say, well, I went to the store, I looked for fish oil, and, you know, of course, I went immediately to the most discounted brand because it's ridiculous to pay, $30 for a bottle of fish oil. And I found a brand that's $9.99 for, 500 pills. But that may be a company that doesn't have the quality control. And indeed, if you squish a lot of fish to press out fish oil, then you don't have the proper molecular distillation and filtration and all the, these quality control steps and assays to make sure that things are okay. You might get PCBs, which are bad in pregnancy. They're endocrine disruptors. You might get mercury, toxic heavy metals, because we know that some of these fish swim in mercury-laden waters, and they're bioaccumulators. They may accumulate mercury. But, full disclosure, Nordic Naturals is a sponsor, and also I recommend their vitamins. And they have very, very careful quality control. They assay their products, and we know that there's no harmful levels of mercury or PCBs in their products. So, a woman who's wary of, say, having a couple of cans of tuna fish every week, you might get a lot of omega-3s from that, but you might also accumulate on mercury. You can take fish oil supplements. That's okay. So from the standpoint of the child, we're talking about neurological development. I don't know if you tell moms this, but, I'm actually in an interesting position myself because I have my stepdaughter-in-law. She's about dilated to about 2 centimeters at this point. We're any moment now. So we've been tanking her up with nutrients and especially omega-3. But there's an interesting sidelight to omega-3. According to some things I've looked at, it might not be desirable to use omega-3 right towards the end, because omega-3 it does prevent miscarriages and premature delivery, which is a major cause of problems for kids, and intellectual problems and lung problems. Preemies have a lot of problems, and you don't want them to sit in the ICU and get antibiotics and whatnot. But it may prolong the pregnancy, because one study that I recall, they did it in the Faroe Islands, which is off the coast of Norway, and it's sort of a Arctic Ocean area where they consume a lot of fish, their pregnancies average 10 months. It's bad enough to it's bad enough to be, you know, carrying around, you know, an 8-pound baby in your abdomen and have to wait another couple of weeks because the fish oil you took. So what I've told her is time to taper off the fish oil and you can resume the use
as soon as this baby out.
Right.
But, you know, in addition to helping elevate the mother's mood, just like you said, I mean, we have studies that show that omega-3 fish oil promotes the healthy development of the fetal brain.
Yes.
The eyes, the nervous system.
Absolutely.
The immune system. I mean, it supports attention, focus, intelligence. I mean, it is essential. It's an essential fatty acid, but if you don't ingest it, our bodies don't make it ourselves. So it's extremely important, but especially during pregnancy. I mean, everybody should be taking, you know, kids, men, you know, no matter what the gender or the age, everybody should be ingesting, you know, should be taking a supplement, but especially during pregnancy and when you're nursing and trying to replenish your body after a pregnancy. The difference is enormous. When women call me and they're depressed and depleted, I mean, mother depletion can also lead to depression. You know,
when
you don't have enough sleep, you know, at nighttime to support the brain and, you know, the serotonin, among other things. When your body is just spent, you know, it can lead to depression. So this is such an easy way, a natural way, to replenish your system and your brain.
Right, and it's not going to obviate the gloom you might feel with piles of diapers accumulating, or disposable diapers these days, or those incessant demands of your baby, or
it's not a cure all. There are still other pieces to the puzzle, of course.
But it is. It may shall we say, it may raise the threshold. And because I find that omega-3s work well for my anxiety patients. It's not like their anxiety vanishes overnight, but they just feel
exactly.
A little less perturbable. And the way it works is it seems to work to stabilize the neurochemical impulses in the brain, almost like insulating those wires. You know, people sometimes say, I feel like I don't have any insulation on my nerves. That's what fish oil does in the brain, in the nervous system.
And that's a wonderful metaphor. And you see, when that happens, then the therapy, working on the cognitive behavioral therapy stuff that I do too, you know, the talk stuff and the processing stuff, my clients are so much more able to utilize that kind of therapy once their system has taken a breath and come down a couple of notches. So
you know,
it works very well together. You need that physical support in order to utilize, you know, the other kinds of therapies anyway.
Indeed. You know, and one of the real scandals of the regulatory process in the United States is that, and I was talking about this decades ago, is that baby formula. Okay, look, face it, some women aren't going to breastfeed, you know, it's just not going to happen. And so they're going to reach for the formula. And in virtually every other developed country in the world, throughout Europe and in Canada, in Australia, they began supplementing baby formula with DHA. And in the United States, it was only until, I don't know, maybe 5-6 years ago that they approved DHA as if it was some sort of, experimental drug, when we know it's a major constituent of breast milk. That is, if the mother, you know, has adequate DHA through her diet.
That's right. Yeah, very, very true. It took way too long. And I'm with you. And sometimes there's a combination of what's important is that the baby gets the DHA. And certainly if the mom has enough in her system, both for her body and also for whatever the baby is going to take from her body, then everybody's in good shape. But at least if it is in the formula, at least it is now, the baby will get some DHA. There, we also have studies, though, showing that EPA is also good for mood, and there's a tremendous amount of research going on now as to what is doing what. But Nordic Naturals has it down. I mean, they have a combination supporting different systems in our body, but they both, the DHA and the EPA, are showing to help with mental health, which is my main focus.
But, you know, I think one of the most persuasive arguments for omega-3s is the research that they're doing with suicidal depression. Now, sometimes when we talk about supplements, we say, look, you know, they're not as strong as medications. If somebody's in really, really bad shape, you need to go the medicine route. And I acknowledge that because drugs are infinitely more powerful than supplements. Supplements are subtle. They take time to work, and they work, you know, mild to moderate effects. But they tackled the problem of suicidal depression in one study. They looked at people who had unsuccessful suicide attempts. They divided them into two groups. One group got fish oil at high doses. I don't recall how much, but I think it was like perhaps 6 capsules a day, something, you know, pretty aggressive. And the other group got, you know, normal diet and some, I guess, placebo pills, soy oil or olive oil or something along those lines. And they compared the two groups in terms of subsequent suicide attempts. I mean, you as a therapist, you know that once somebody's committed suicide, that's a high-risk person. That's a person you're going to keep a very close eye on. You as a therapist know that you even, you know, have to keep asking about that because you might have liability if you don't, you know, properly intervene.
Yep.
And so what they found was that there was a halving of subsequent suicide attempts in these people who, I mean, so that to me is one of the most resounding proofs that omega-3s have an impact, not just on, you know, mild to moderate mood disturbances, but in very, very profound depression.
Yes, that's quite dramatic. And, you know, what I think also is we know that depression, at least in certain people, could be caused by inflammation.
Yes.
Right. So here it is. It's a natural anti-inflammatory omega-3 is. So doesn't that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
That it can also affect and does affect our mental health. And, and just also when our bodies are feeling better, you know, just our general well-being can make such a difference in how we are doing emotionally.
And the evidence of the inflammation connection comes from research on patients with inflammatory disorders that affect the brain, like multiple sclerosis, or
yes,
patients with lupus, which might create inflammatory cytokines in the body. Or just think of how lousy you feel mentally when you have the flu. Your body is extremely inflamed. It's fighting a virus. And, man, do I get depressed even when I have a cold. I mean, you don't want to be around me. So, truly, there is an impact of inflammation on brain function. Anything we can do to tamp that down would be important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, the nutritional piece, I, as you can tell, I feel very passionate about, as I know you do as well. And preparing the brain, and both parents should be doing this. You know, relationships are getting a lot, you know, I could do a whole show just on how nutrition can affect relationships if you're ever interested. But it's so important. And again, exercise is a piece of that plan. And even if she's depressed, doing something to oxygenate that brain can be very, very useful. Even if she's suffering quite a bit, maybe she can just walk to her mailbox and walk back. I mean, you got to start with whatever you can do. Start from where you are.
Absolutely.
And certainly, you know, have your emotional supports already lined up. Who do you have to talk to and to lean on and be real with? I mean, again, even without any depression, having a baby enter the family is hugely stressful. And all new parents need support. So, you know, you don't need the judgment and the criticism and I know how to do this better than you do kind of stuff. You need somebody to really, really be there so you can lean on them. And throw out the myths of motherhood. Like, this should be the happiest time in my life, and if it's not, there's something terribly wrong with me, and I'm inadequate. You know, the truth is, this is boot camp. I mean, yes, we hope there's some joy there. I mean, and of course, but it can be exhausting. And it does turn one's life upside down.
Indeed it does. All right, well, we divide these podcasts into two parts. So we've covered the issue of the omega-3s. And for those interested, by the way, our sponsor, Nordic Naturals, is offering a free offer. That's our listeners' favorite four-letter word that starts with F, free. You can visit NordicNaturals.com and click on the free sample box in the lower right corner to obtain a free sample of Nordic Naturals fish oil. And we'll continue in part two of our interview with Dr. Shoshana Bennett, Dr. Shosh, as she's known to her patients. And in part two, we're going to provide six powerful tips from Dr. Shosh on how to support body, mind, and emotions during pregnancy and postpartum. Crucial information for you or a loved one who are contemplating pregnancy or in the midst of it, or perhaps grappling with the postpartum blues. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.